This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, February 4th, 2024, Sexagesima Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The life of man on earth is a warfare. May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Those were the first words from the first reading today. Job says the life of man on earth is a warfare. He doesn't say that life of man on earth is like a warfare. He says it is a warfare. As we get ready to face Lent, when things should get real for us in our spiritual battle, about terms, spiritual warfare. Well, that was when you pray, because it keeps demons from getting it. Prayer is an aspect of spiritual warfare. The spiritual warfare for us is a whole lot more, should be a whole lot more tangible, a whole lot more objective than merely considering praying. This is what Job means when he says that the life of man on earth is a warfare. It is a warfare whether we like it or not. It is something that has been thrust upon us by the fall of our first parents. So it's just something we got to deal with. St. Jose Maria Escriva, millennia after Job said those words about life being a warfare, so St. Jose Maria says, this saying from Job said centuries ago, there are still some souls who haven't got the message. I think St. Jose Maria is a positivist, because I think there's a whole lot more souls than some that don't get it. For one thing, we got to appreciate our human nature. Our human nature is one, and this is not a pejorative, it's just who we are, it's how we're wired, is to deny things that are bad. We don't like to consider things like that. There was a this was like decades and decades ago. There was a study done when people were confronted with impending death, terminally ill patients, and there were stages of how they react to this. And the first stage was denial. You can deny all you want, but it's coming down the pike. To deny things, you know, it's not healthy. A lot of, you know, again, we don't like to deal with things that are particularly conflict. I don't like to deal with that. But I throw this one at you. You know, there's a bunch of people waking up in the Ukraine and in Russia and in Israel and in Gaza who this morning get up and go, oh, it's a nice day outside. I can see outside. I deny that there's anything bad going on. I'm going to go out and walk. Bad move. Because why? Because that's not the situation. You can deny it till you're blue in the face, but it's not the situation. And those of us who aren't dealing with that currently, we could deny that that would ever happen around here. Yeah, hold that thought. We're people who deny things like that. We can't deny this. You know, these things I just described, they're horrible. I don't want to even think about that. Denial. Okay, I don't want to think about that. Our spiritual warfare is something much more grave, because if you deny that there's a war going on, you go outside and walk around and you get killed, that's getting killed in this life. If we deny our warfare, if we deny our enemy, it's a permanent thing. It's eternal. We can't trifle with this. We ought not. It's not a matter of, we cannot. Although many people do. Many people do, but we cannot. This is spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare, again, that term means many things to many different people. But at the end of the day, you know, whatever your perception of it may be, You know, we got to get a reality check, like St. Job provides us. Your life here is a warfare, whether you like it or not. You look at Scripture, there are myriad. I actually tried to do a search there. Okay, how many times is this mentioned? How many times? It was ridiculous, the numbers. When you look at every reference to military analogies or battle analogies, what are we members of? Anyway, traditionally, the church militant. And I've actually heard clerics, bishops say, we don't use that term anymore. That's denial. That's denial. We don't use that term anymore. Well, you don't have to use it, Excellency, if you don't want to, but this is the case. It is the case. We are the church militant. What does that mean? You got to fight. You got to fight because your enemy is fighting. He doesn't care what you think. He doesn't care if you deny the whole thing. He wants you to. It makes it much easier for him. When scriptures speak of God, who is this Lord of glory? He is a Lord of glory, mighty in battle. And time and time and time again, God is presented to us as a warrior. This is just the reality of things. But unfortunately, in our day and age, that whole concept, the church militant and military analogies, they have self-consciously been removed from the lectionary. Self-consciously been redacted. You don't want to present that kind of stuff to people. Those are difficult passages. That's not difficult at all. Everybody gets the whole war thing. Even if you weren't in the military, but you watch a war movie, know somebody who is in the military. Most know people who fought the wars. You get the stories. You know what the concept is. This is why St. Paul and all the other saints use it in Scripture. Why the Holy Spirit pushes it down our throat. Because we get that one. There are a lot of things we might not get. All those people, this, everybody gets the whole war thing. It's bad. It costs. That's us. The struggle is here. I mean, like I said, it means different things to different people. But at the end of the day, what is the struggle? It is truly very simple. What is the struggle? For you to do the right thing. The right thing. Not what you think is right. Not what your perception of right is. Or not what everybody else thinks is right. But what God thinks is right. That's the struggle. And it's a huge struggle with each and every one of us. Because we want to do what we want to do. We want to believe the way we believe. We want to leave this stuff that we want to deny out. But the struggle is to do what is right according to God. And it's a very difficult thing for us, but that's our warfare. To do right by God, and that we have an enemy who does everything that he possibly can to keep you from doing right. When we talk about the enemy, I am not Satan, demons. Well, that's just an old way of saying the evil that exists in this world. No, it is not. No, it is not. Satan is a being just like you are. I mean, just like you. He's a created being of God. He exists. All the demons, they exist. They are individuals. They are malevolent. They want your soul. They are merciless. They're ferocious. They got nothing to lose. And that's the worst kind of enemy. He's going to attack you when he's got nothing to lose. He doesn't care. This is what we're fighting against. No, we're not. Gospel today. The first few verses were the whole Peter's mother-in-law with the fever thing. The next seven verses, four times demons are mentioned by our Lord. Four times in seven verses. That's how real it is. If Jesus did anything while he was here, I mean, he did a lot of miracles. He walked on water. He did all kind of cool stuff. The thing he did most was cast out demons. No, that's just the way they used to look at when people were sick. Hello, did you listen to the gospel today? He healed sick people and cast out demons. Two completely different things. Completely different things. That's our enemy. He hates you. There is no mercy. You know, in the most horrible conflicts. Maybe you dehumanize one another and you have a vicious enemy that doesn't care. You can still find shreds of mercy every now and then. Your enemy has none, not one shred of mercy. He laughs at your sufferings. The more you suffer, the better he likes it. That's your enemy. He wants you to deny him. That's why soldiers wear camouflage. They don't want you to see where they are. Why? Because they put a serious hurting on you when you don't know where they are. They don't want you to know where they are. That's one thing. But can you imagine how a soldier would have, I'm not going to pay any attention because I really don't believe the enemy's around here. See how that works out for you? It doesn't. This is the reality of our enemy. So, can't deny it. Oh, you can, but it's just not a healthy thing. That's the message. No one escapes the struggle. No one. Like I talked about those countries, and I just picked out a couple that it's up in the news right now. Hey, you think they wake up in the morning with maybe a fleeting second, they can't remember what's going on and go, I can't do that today. They don't want that, but it has been thrust upon them. That's where they live. That's what's going on. We're the same thing. You can deny that you have an enemy and everything like that, but guess what? It's been thrust upon you because of the fall of Adam and Eve. Why did the fall occur? Because of the enemy. The enemy attacked Eve, and she wasn't ready. And she didn't do what she was supposed to do. And he got her soul. This is the reality. Nobody escapes the struggle. You can act like you do. I'm not talking about pagans. I'm not talking about people outside Christianity, everything like that, because they're in the prison camp already. They just don't know it. They're in the prison camp and they think they're all fat, dumb, and happy. Oh, that's not too bad here. It's not too bad here. Just wait till you get moved to the next place. That's horrendous and for all eternity. But now they're okay. They're cool with it. I'm okay with that. It's good. You know, I'm going to talk about those people. And let's pay attention to us. Baptized and confirmed Catholics. If you're baptized and confirmed, particularly in the old rites, and even in the new rites sacramentally, whether they like to talk about it or not, again, another denial, in a baptism, in the new rite of baptism, there's one anointing you give the child on the head, and you know, before you get baptized. In the old rite, there are three, and one of them is very profound when it comes to this concept. One of them is a cross on the back of the child. It's an infant. They're baptized. No original sin. They haven't committed any actual sin. No, they haven't. But we sign them on the back to show that from henceforth, you're going to carry this cross every day of your life. You can't shake it off, whether you like it or not. You can deny that it's there, but it still happens. In the rite of baptism itself, at the end, when you present the duties to the parents and the godparents, one of the things, you should raise this child up to be a soldier in Christ's army until his life's end. That's baptism. Then confirmation, if you do it like it's always been done, the way I would submit it should be done. There's all these military analogies used. And then when you're confirmed, what do you get? Slap on the cheek. What's that all about? Why are we doing that? Why don't they do it anymore? It's a denial. It's a denial that the sacrament makes a military statement. That you put that cross on your back and now it's up to you more and more to fight this fight. That's the whole thing going on there. And when you don't see it, when it's not in the rites, it makes it less efficacious when it comes to fighting spiritual warfare. These people that are baptized and confirmed, us, you want to deny the fight? You don't want to struggle? Guess what you are? You're a deserter from Christ's army. I didn't sign up for this. Yeah, you did. I was a child when I was baptized. Yeah. I didn't know what I was saying. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did know what you're saying. And sacraments work because of what they are. Ex opere operato. You've been enlisted. You've been drafted. Let's just say that. I didn't ask for this. My uncle, during Vietnam, he got drafted. You don't want anything to do with the military. Guess what? Who cares? See ya. Have fun in Vietnam. You don't want to go there. There was a struggle, and it was necessary. Ours even more so. So, when you look at it, you can desert. What happens to deserters even in this world? They get shot. Back in the day, they used to do it all the time. That was way, way back in the day. You know, the U.S. Army executed a man in 1945 for desertion. It was the end of the war. War's almost over. We win. Oh, no, he deserted. Shoot him. Eddie Slovic was his name. That's how serious desertion is. How much more from deserting Christ's army? If Jesus doesn't have to execute you, he won't. He doesn't want to. You execute yourself. And no, I'm not. I'm just turning myself over to the enemy. I'm just his prisoner. Yeah. And guess what the enemy's going to do? You're dead eternally. It's the second death. You can deny it all you want. And what's really amazing about it is people want to deny the struggle. I don't want to struggle. I'm leaving. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that, you know, which is just amazing to me. I'm not going to receive the sacraments anymore. It'd be like being a soldier. I'm not taking that ammunition. Okay. I don't want to struggle. And then you know what they do? They desert Christ's army and they start struggling for things that they wanted. The struggle doesn't end. They struggle over their own vanity. They struggle with their own lusts. Oh, I want to do this because this is just love. And then you're at enmity with your family members and other Christian people that you're around. So there's a struggle there. Even something simple as laziness. What people will do, lazy people will go to so much work to perpetuate their laziness. When I was a cop, it was amazing. Some guys are like, hey, where's so-and-so been? He talked like for 2 hours to get himself out of a 15-minute report. People just do that. They do their laziness. You know, people struggle with that. So you're going to struggle one way or another. Spiritual warfare. There's a book written by Father Lorenzo Scopoli, a classic work in spiritual warfare. Remember the title. Very original. Spiritual warfare. I would highly suggest getting a copy. I wouldn't just say read it, because if you read it, if you're doing the right thing, you want to read it again and again. It's good. He talks about this whole deserting Christ's army thing. He says, I'll tell you again, you must not weary of the struggle, but remember the obligation which lies on us all to serve and please God, and the absolute necessity of fighting in this battle, from which none can escape without wounds or death. I tell you, moreover, that if, as a rebel, you would fly from God and give yourself over to the world and to the lights of the flesh, you will still be forced, in spite of yourself, to labor in the sweat of your brow against many and many an adversary who will pierce your heart and with deadly anguish. You're not gaining anything by not fighting except death. Two things, being taken prisoner or dying, it's synonymous with our enemy. You taken POW during any given human war. After the war's over, guess what? They don't want to feed you anymore, so they send you back home. You're repatriated with your country. Not in this POW camp. It's eternal. Constant torture for all eternity. That's where you go. This is our enemy, and this is what we got to fight against, because that is the only alternative. You got two choices, heaven or hell. That whole four last things thing. Death, judgment, heaven, hell. The two everybody does, the other two are the option. That is spiritual warfare. When we talk about it, like I said before, it's just not praying for us because we are human beings. Why do we have sacraments? Because we have a body. We live in this world. We have to touch things. We have to taste things, see things, hear things. Our Lord knows this is why we have sacraments, to engage us. We have to be engaged in the spiritual warfare in the same way, physically. It's just not praying. 1 Peter 5, every single night, not given any liturgical season, every single night in the Roman Breviary, 1 Peter 5, this verse, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, wanders about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'm always saying pay attention there. You get the spiritual idea of who your enemy is, but it doesn't say pray so he doesn't get you, or read spiritual books so he doesn't get you. It says be sober and vigilant. Do things, physical things. Engage with your faith. But we're physical beings, so we have to do that physically. Our spiritual life is truly a military tactic. Tangibly, I keep talking about military, and there are some people, when you're a kid, you play capture the flag. Yeah, you got your flag, you capture the flag, you know, and keep people from getting your flag. The flag that the demons want is our soul. That's the goal for him. And if you look at the, you know, if you want to use an analogy, capture the flag, you're like a, you know, you're a 90-pound person with a brick in each pocket, and you have your flag, and you know some 350-pound linebacker-looking dude is coming to get it. It ain't very bright to sit in the middle of an open field and hold your flag and go, okay, I guess you're going to come and get it. Guess what? He's going to knock the mess out of you and take your flag from you. Very easy. That's all that's going to happen. Well, how am I supposed to do anything? Well, how about this one? Think, you know, like maybe a mile away, build up like this 20-foot wall that he has to climb over. And then after that, you know, put up said other kind of obstacle that he kind of, and then after that, make a moat that he's got to swim through and be real nasty and all that. And then, you know, put some barbed wire out that he's got to go through all that. So when he gets there, yeah, he's 350 pounds. He's a big, strong guy, but he's exhausted. He's exhausted. So guess what you can do? Fight. I wouldn't suggest it. Run. You got all kind of energy. He's tired. Run. Can't catch you. All right? Resist the devil. That's the picture. But, I mean, you know, the capture the flag thing doesn't do it justice. The military thing does. It's in the military, it is called defense in depth. You know, everybody gets a bit, you don't sit in the middle of the field and wait for him to come get you. About a mile away, you set up some barbed wire and some landmines and all kind of iffy stuff like that. And then a couple hundred yards in from that, some more barbed wire and some more landmines and all this kind of stuff. And you just keep doing that and doing that. So by the time they get there, they're thinking twice. Our enemy is ferocious. He's merciless. He doesn't have to get... Why are demons cast out in exorcisms? Because the exorcist just keeps plowing them. You know, not with anything innately in him. He keeps plowing them with God's graces. You know, for that person and for him. He keeps plowing them. They leave. They leave if the person wants to be set free, liberated. This is how that works. So, yeah, he is merciless. But at the end of the day, he still succumbs to God's power. He can only do what God allows him to do in the first place. And God decides. And when you invoke God, which we do in with our defenses, because these perimeters, this defense in depth that we have, it's not barbed wire, it's not landmines, because our enemy is not physical. What is our defense in depth? It is our little mortifications. Fasting, occasionally. Your little mortifications like, you know, eating fish on Friday. Little tiny things like that. Those are little defensive perimeters. Your prayer life, and I'm talking about a serious prayer life. I pray. You know, I was on my way to work. From Deltona to here is a rosary in the car. That's what I do. It's a bad rosary. I'll be the first to admit it. It's not a good rosary. Because why? I'm driving. Wouldn't be a real bright thing for me to get all meditative on the rosary while I'm driving. But I say it anyway. Even a bad prayer is something little bit. It's like putting a bunch of barbed wire and landmines in it. I'm going to put this sharp stick right here too. Yeah, maybe he just might fall on that one. Okay? That's a bad rosary. Any prayer, but the good prayers, the good rosaries and things like that, those are strong defenses. You know, paying attention to detail in your prayer life. How many people blow off things? You know, it's never been like that for servants of God. I always use the picture at St. Peter's. They got these marble columns. You know, I've said, well, the bottom of the base of these columns, marble, solid marble. And they got these little tiny flowers everywhere. I mean, it's covered with these little tiny flowers. It took that dude like years to do that. You know, unless you get down and look at them, you don't even see them. Like if you're walking by, why'd take the time to do that? Because it's for God. And then all of a sudden you look up 30 feet and there's another one of those things and it's covered with flowers too. And nobody ever sees that, ever, ever. Why? Because God does. That's being detailed. We got to pay attention to the details that we do for him. And then our rule of life. You know, on this day I do a novena. On this day I do, you know, this. I do a chaplet of divine mercy at 3:00. You know, all these little things. They are our defensive perimeters. Newsflash. If the enemy, like, hits these, even when if you kill enough of them or they run away because they get sick of getting in barbed wire and landmines, guess what? The landmine's blown up. The barbed wire's tore up. Guess what you got to do? You got to go about and prepare it because he's coming back. So you don't want your defenses getting all trashed. So you go out and you fix it. That's what Lent is. Lent is every year we go out and we fix the defensive perimeters. This is what this is all about. Okay, this is what makes it real. You know, I'm just going to pray during Lent. Wow. That's not good enough. That's not fighting. It's not doing anything. We got to resist the devil. You know, James chapter 4, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, a lot of people say, you know, oh, holy salt, holy water, deliverance prayers. I'm a proponent of all that stuff in its context. James not talking about that stuff. James talking about your Eucharistic life. He's talking about the Eucharist. He's talking about the confessional, the state of grace, living in a state of grace. That's resisting the devil. In the military, you like soft targets. You like soft targets. Here you're like an airplane war movie. And it's like, we're going to this place today. Everybody's like, yes, excellent. Why? Hey, there are really no defenses up there. It's just this, that, or the other thing. We'll fly there. We'll drop some bombs on them, shoot them up, and we'll go home. But then there's other times, we're going to go to this place. Oh, why? The place is ringed with this, that, the other thing, and they got to fly through it. And then they got to fly through it on the way back also. You don't like that. You like soft targets. Satan likes soft targets. And there's a ton of them out there. So you don't got to even go to that much work to resist him. The scriptures say, if you resist him, he will flee from you. Don't just hand yourself over. You know, it disturbs me so much when I hear people fall, you know, particularly Catholic, fall into mortal sin. And they're good with it. And they know it. And they're confronted with it. They're too stupid to realize that they've had... It's not a matter of, I'm just doing what I want. You've turned yourself over to Satan. You're giving aid and comfort to the enemy. He's got you. He got the flag. It's gone. Well, if it's gone, what about... You can't get it back. You can't get it back. Jesus get it back for you. That's called the confessional. You go to the confessional, Jesus gets your flag back. The whole do-over. And then after you get your flag back, you know, that's the penance when you leave it. Like, okay, now get to work. You know, you messed up. Set up some defenses. Keep this from happening again. And it can happen again, but he's waiting to get your flag back for you. This is the reality of things. I'm going to end with the words of Father Scopoli, because he's awesome. Consider then what a folly it would be to incur all this toil and trouble, which does but lead to greater toil and endless trouble and spiritual death, in order to avoid that which will soon be over, and which will lead us to eternal and infinite blessedness in the everlasting enjoyment of our God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.